certainly do thank the Lord this morning for all that He is and all that He means to me. And I'm thankful to be His child, and I thank the Lord for His great and wonderful salvation. And I appreciate Him being my Savior, my personal Savior. In Luke, the 24th chapter, Jesus had been laid in the tomb, and He had risen. So those that had came to find Him, it says in the third verse, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? So that is the message this morning. So I've written that on the board. Why seek ye the living among the dead? I'm glad to serve a living Savior. Aren't you? Isn't it wonderful to serve a living God? I know there's a little bumper sticker that says, if your God is dead, try mine. I talked with Him this morning. And that just is wonderful, to serve a living God. And they had come because that is what they were expecting. They were expecting to find the Savior that had been laid in the sepulcher. And they just knew that He would be there. But when you serve a living, a risen Savior, He's not going to be there. But you know, there are things that we do. You know, you can look at the fruits of the Spirit and the fruits of the flesh, and you automatically know that there is something living in the fruits of the Spirit and then something dead in the fruits of the flesh. But there are things that even happen in our lives, even now, that we can do, that we are thinking processes that we can do that actually is like looking for something living among something that is so dead. And I'd like to enumerate a few of those this morning. So I'd like to start out with, what is dead? What is dead? So Isaiah, the 40th chapter, it kind of describes well the direction that we want to go this morning. Isaiah 40 and verse 20. It says in the 19th verse or 18th verse, to whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto Him? Let's start out with, to whom then will ye liken God? Do you know you can make your own God? You can formulate your own God. You can fabricate and imagine your own God. But it might not be the living God. Did you know that? It says, to whom then will ye liken God? Do you know in those old days, and they had a lot of idolatrous worship, I know when we would go to, or when you go to museums, you start looking at those old societies, those old cultures. I'd like you to look just for a minute at the little amulets. Amulets are like a little lucky charm. And it was in the shape of their gods or goddesses. And if you look at those pagan countries, that's what they have dug up in archaeology. And there's these little bitty amulets. And that was something they could put in their house, something they could put in their pocket, something they could carry with them in their purse. A little bitty thing, because that's how they likened their God. And if I can carry Him with me always, then He's going to bring me all the good things in life. And we know there is no power in that little bitty image. There's no power in the lucky rabbit's foot that's on a keychain. There's no power in that. So we're here to expose that this morning. The workman melteth a graven image, just as we were talking about. It might be big, it might be little, it might be in between. And the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Is that dead or is that living? That's all dead, isn't it? It's all dead. But do you know we can kind of do that very same thing in different ways? So I'd like to start with Hebrews, the 8th chapter. When the Lord brought this great and wonderful salvation, it was to every one of us, so that we could each have an individual walk with Him. He could be our personal Savior. Says in the 10th verse, the 8th chapter of Hebrews and the 10th verse, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people, and they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest." All can know me. But do you know we have people that build little or carry little images, so to speak? I'm just saying this in a figurative form. Have you ever heard of, how do I say this, associative experience? They don't have it themselves, but mom and dad did. Mom and dad had a close relationship with the Lord, and when I was in trouble, I could just call them up and they'd pray for me and they'd pray me through. And I went through life on the coattails of their experience. Do you know that's you're just holding a lucky charm. You're holding something dead. You really are. And I have seen people do that even with pastors. They're in trouble. And I do believe you need to let the saints know. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not here to produce an independent spirit. That's not what I'm saying. We need each other. But if you're doing it because of lack within yourself, and you're going to call on someone that has power, think again, because that's dead. That is dead. There should be power in your prayers. There should be power in your testimony. There should be power in your life. And it's not just for my neighbor. It's not just for my mom and dad. It's for me too. But so many just float along. And I've seen it happen many times. And when that person does die physically, there goes that experience that you had too, because you didn't really have one. It was dead. But the Lord didn't die just for mom and dad. He didn't die just for the pastor or the minister, whoever you held great confidence in. He died for you too. And if you want that kind of experience, you can have it. But sometimes we're too dependent on dead things. We're too busy holding it in our pocket. We're not digging it for ourselves. And we've built for us a little bitty stack here of an image that is dead. It's not living. Well, I want to go on to the 13th chapter of Hebrews. And the 6th verse, it says, another dead thing that you can hold on to. I do believe you need to have a past experience. I do believe that there should be a history of how the Lord has blessed you. And you can testify of that. And that's a wonderful thing. But it better not be just a past experience. I noticed one time that there was a couple of people that would get up and testify. And I do believe they had power in their lives at a young age. And that's what they would testify about. But they lost something along the way, and they couldn't testify about what was now, because that's a dead thing. And I want you to know that Jesus Christ says, "So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. For Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." So the same God that you had that experience in years ago and you saw the power of that is the same God that can help you today, and today is what you have. Today He can be your living Savior. And if you're just relying on the past experiences, then it's dead. It's dead. The Lord has something more for you. Why are you seeking the living among the dead? Where was Jesus? Was he still in the tomb? No, he was living. He's a risen Savior. We serve a living God, and I thank the Lord for that. In Matthew, the 19th chapter, we have a man that was a good man. But we see his heir. And this is something that hooks into us. And it gives a false confidence. It gives a false assurance. That's what I want to say. A false assurance. It really is just a lucky charm you're carrying in your pocket. It is not the true and living God. 16th verse, 19 and 16. We know this story, but I want to go through it again. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So this man, we will read down that he was a good man. He would have been a wonderful neighbor. He would have been a wonderful employee or employer. He did things fairly. He was very conscientious about the law, it says. And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, Which? And Jesus says, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So the young man in his mind had a checklist, and he was going check, check, no murder, check, no adultery, check, not stealing, not check, not bearing false witness. Can you imagine what kind of person that would be? It was a very good person, a very wonderful person. But there was something dead in him. And it says, And the young man said unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? He knew there was a lack. He saw there was something dead in me. And he was wanting the Lord to identify it. And the Lord did. The Lord, because he's a living God. If you ask him to identify it, he will show you what's dead in your life. He will show you the thing you're packing in your pocket that means nothing. It's just a stack of silver or gold or history or memory. And it's dead to you. But he wants to make you alive. And Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. He pointed out the dead thing that was in his life. The thing that was rotting in his life. And when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Who was talking to him? A living Savior. Who was bidding him come? It was the Son of God. We're not talking about just an apostle here. It wasn't Paul. It wasn't Peter. This was Jesus. And he clung to the dead things. Those things that could not bring him assurance. Eternal assurance. And Jesus was very, it says, And when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. But Jesus was sad to see him go. Don't you want him, know he wanted to grab his robe and say, Hey, wait a minute, let's talk about this. But he'd already pointed it out. The man had asked. When you ask the Lord, be willing to be open and say, Yes, Lord, that's dead in my life. And I want it removed. What is dead things? They stink. They're filthy. It's decaying. It smells. Do you want that in your life? We serve a risen and living Savior. Thank the Lord for that. Luke, the 18th chapter. And the 9th verse. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Self-righteousness is dead. and the Pharisees and the scribes and the lawyers and the educated ones could not see it. They couldn't see it. And yet he describes them as filthy. And he describes them as smelly and stinky and dead. You're full of dead men's bones, it said. A whited sepulcher. You are filled with dead men's bones. But they refused to believe it because they trusted in themselves. And I'm telling you, that's a big one right there. But when you trust in yourself, it's dead. It is not living. It said here, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. I always thought this was interesting. When Jesus was here on this earth, who did he rebuke? Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a sinner. The adulterous woman. She was caught in the very act. Do you know it was the religious people that he rebuked? Because they were so satisfied with their dead, filthy rags. And they couldn't see it. And he tried to point it out. And do you know that crowd of people that he was talking to? He said he spake to this parable and to certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. He was talking to the ones. And when he said Pharisee, don't you know they all went a sharp intake of breath. Do you not know that is our religious leaders? And sometimes that can be the ones who stink. Because they're trusting in their own righteousness. Really, the rich young ruler was trusting in his own righteousness. He wasn't trusting the Lord to fill his plate. He wasn't trusting the Lord for the needs in his life. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. I can understand the crowd probably was just appalled that he said these two words, Pharisee, publican. Couldn't be further from each other than could be. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. And you notice it said he prayed this with himself. It never did leave the ceiling. He prayed a very eloquent prayer. And all he could talk about was the things that he had done. And when that's all you can talk about, then it's dead. You're carrying around a little useless amulet. You're carrying around something that's dead. And why are you seeking the living among the dead? I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. All those things were good things. But it was self that did them. It was whatever discipline they had, whatever. And what they were doing was relying on those actions for their salvation. And it was dead to them because they did not embrace a living Savior. The living Savior was right there telling them where it was at. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And this was where you will find a living Savior. When you realize that you are as dirty, as filthy, as any sinner out there, then you can find a living Savior. But when you're still feeling like you're a pretty good fellow, it's not going to work because you're depending on that. But we serve a living Savior. Why seek ye the living among the dead? I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. How shall we see ourselves? As nothing. That's the best way every time. Because we are nothing. Within ourselves, within our own selves, it's still filthy. But that's dead. Why seek ye the living among the dead? 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and the 5th verse. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. There are a lot of imaginations that we build up and we carve and we put eyeballs in. Fears is an imagination. Philosophies is an imagination. Studies of whatever you want to study. If it's not brought into the captivity and under Jesus Christ, it is dead. And I know for myself, a few years ago, I had not a physical one, but you see these little worry stones, and they'll say you can rub the worry stone and lay it down, and it'll keep you calm. Well, I had in my mind a worry stone. There was something that was in my mind that was fearful to me. And it was a worry stone, and I would rub it all day long, just about. And I'd put it down only to pick it back up and do that again. It was such a fear that I had that it was almost paralyzing. And the Lord gave me the verse, "I will trust and not be afraid." And I was thinking, oh Lord, I'm in trouble. Because what that means is, if you're afraid, you're not really fully trusting. So I was caught short, and I did some begging on my knees. And those fears never came to pass. Because I'm the one that had carved it. I'm the one that had put the eyeballs and the mouth on it. It was an imagination. It was a fear unfounded. It wasn't even there. What was it? I think a minister said it. Clouds. Clouds are just droplets of water. That's all they are. And then another minister said, you know, there's not really grace for imaginations. Because imaginations aren't real. They're not something that can be put under the obedience of Christ, or they need to be put under the obedience of Christ. And then I thought of if one of our children, if they had been 5 years old, 10 years old, I don't know, if they'd have got their little suitcase and packed it full of their clothes and they stood at the end of the driveway and we were saying, son, daughter, what are you doing? Well, I'm waiting on a ride to town because I need to go get me a job because I know you can't take care of me. That never happened, by the way. But how foolish is that? If your child would do that, why? Because the mother and father takes care of it. I don't know of any child that ever sits down and is writing down and furiously on a piece of paper, son, daughter, what are you doing? Well, I'm having to plan my future because I'm not sure you can take care of me. Or I'm having to plan the meals so I can buy the groceries and fix my meals because you don't feed me. Is that what a parent does? No. A father and a mother care for the children. Children do not have to worry about what they're going to eat, what they're going to drink, where they're going to sleep. They don't have to worry about the clothes they wear, where they're going to be in from the shelter. They don't worry about those things. If there's a proper parent, yes. We have improper that doesn't do that. But a proper parent, there is no fear in that child. But yet we are cared for by Heavenly Father and we fear. And that is dead. That is empty. Why are you seeking the living among the dead? Another one is Philippians, the second chapter. So when I say all these things, I do not want to promote an independent spirit. But do you know what? An independent spirit is dead. Is dead. It's not of God. It is not under the obedience of Christ. And I see people that love this verse. In the second chapter of Philippians, in the 12th verse, It says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now, much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." And they love that. Independent people love that first part. Work out your own salvation. You know, you feel you the way you feel, and I'll feel the way I feel, and we'll just get along fine, but don't impose on me anything, and I won't impose anything on you, and we'll search the Word of God for ourselves, and we'll get our own interpretation of it. That's not Holy Spirit. That's not godly, and it's not holiness in the Lord. It says, with fear and trembling, and that means a godly fear, not the fear I was talking about of imagination. But the fear of God, with a godly fear and trembling. And if you have a godly fear and you're trembling before the Lord, you cannot have an independent spirit. It's just not there. Because it says, "For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure." That I want you to be encouraged in the Lord. That you can have a living experience with Him. Don't carry around these images anymore. Don't depend on seeking something living among the dead. And like I said, going back to just even the fruits of the Spirit, the political powers of this world are dead. That is not your salvation. We are to pray for them. We are to obey as much as we can the rules of the land. But beyond that, it's dead. It is not our salvation. It will never be our salvation. It is a dead thing. The entertainments of this world. There are things you can do that are good, clean fun. There's nothing wrong with good, clean fun. But there are many other things that are not that. And you can know when you cross that line. But they're dead. To involve yourself to the point that that's all you consume of your time, it's a dead thing. When it takes you away from family, when it costs you money from family, when it does all those things, it's a dead thing. And it's not of God. Hollywood is dead. All those things out there, they try to force, well, no, they don't force it at all. People love it. People say they don't like it, but they let it come right in. And then they start patterning their lives just like that. And they are no pattern for family, for godly living, and for holiness, because they're dead. It's dead. Don't even try to go there. Don't even try to think that there might be something, because it's dead. The things of this world, I just want to say, whatever, and I enumerated a few. I don't like to enumerate, because then sometimes you feel like, well, then if that's it, then this doesn't really matter. But if you can examine in your own lives those things that you are depending on or trusting in that is not a living Savior, it's dead. And I want to serve a living Savior. So I desire that you pray for me.